Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's your host, Derek Taylor.
It's 4:30. It is Tuesday. We're here for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. Derek Taylor with you on a big day for the Canadian Football League. The league announcing they will not be starting before July the 1st. Games were scheduled to begin June the 11th, training camp May 17th. Both those dates, of course, have already been pushed back. Now nothing will start before July the 1st. We'll talk about the statement from the CFL, the Players Association response, and more. The first sign that we're not going to get all the football that we are wanting here in 2020. All the guests of the show today appear on the Western Pizza Hotline. Use the Western Pizza app or go to westernpizzaexpress.ca for fully contactless delivery, because Western Pizza cares. Peter Labardius, good friend of the show, will join us at 5:30. 5:05, I thought I was going to cast the net out and just take in some of the folks who are putting out great CFL content in our country. If you're a football fan, you listen to CFL podcasts, you know there are a ton of them out there. Well, the next little while, we're just going to reach out to some and promote some, because frankly, I need some more CFL content in my life at this time of the year. So Mike Schwann, he is a.k.a. Jimmy Leach on Twitter of the CFL True North podcast. He will join us at 5:05. Mike is big into the CFL draft, so I'll pick his brain on that. And we'll talk about all sorts of things in and around the CFL. We'll talk about Dana White's insane plan to buy an island. I certainly hope a Netflix documentary crew is following him for all of this. Changes in the Matt Dunstone rink and the Regina High School Athletic Association with an announcement on this day. Not a good one, and again, not an unexpected one for Regina High School athletes. Zinger, the Canadian Football League,
it's putting on hold, DT,
until at least July 1st. Statement from the CFL talking about the decisions made by the federal government. Provinces and municipalities say they'll continue to follow him. These include indications, the statement says, from Canadian cities that they will not allow sporting events to take place before the end of June. I think Calgary was the first one in that to say there will be nothing.
Yeah, their mayor came out last week. It was, yeah.
Yeah, before June the 30th. While it's now clear, the statement goes on, the 2020 CFL season won't start before the beginning of July. Work with our teams, the association, TSNRDS. We recognize this may require some creativity, and we are preparing for multiple scenarios. So the first shoe to drop was the training camps being pushed back. The next shoe to drop is, well, there'll be no games before July 1st. It's going slowly. It's almost like water torture.
It's so, like, when we found out that the training camps are going to be pushed back, I feel like, you know, let's just come out and let's say it, like, this season's going to be postponed. Like, if the training camp's going to be postponed, then we all know that the regular season was probably going to be, like, I was suspecting around end of June.
Yeah.
But I think, who knows what it'll be 2 weeks from now. It could be, you know, like Labor Day, like, you know.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's just the reality.
England has said, hey, Wimbledon, no. The British Open, no. Those events were coming up in the summertime. They're already gone. There's no benefit to pulling the trigger early, I don't really think.
No, there's not.
I was trying to think of any reason why you'd say, yeah, you know what, we'll be back in 20. Like the Western Women's CFL has said, hey, our season won't happen. They pulled the trigger early. Their season was coming up pretty quick, though, right? Mm-hmm. This is the CFL has, as we'll talk about in one big number, they have until, gosh, mid-July.
Yeah.
Probably, right? July, mid-July before they really need to start making the decision.
I guess it's just like it's kind of good closure for fans that are planning to travel to these games, knowing that, okay, they're kind of like on the fence. Is this game going to be happening or not?
Yeah.
You know, the game's in mid-June. Should I go to this game? You know, but now it's kind of like stamped in stone. Okay, it's postponed, so I can move on with my life. But
yeah.
I know what you mean. For the most part, there's no really any no point in doing it early because...
Yeah, we talk about it off air, right? When we talk with Luke, for example, hey, what chance do you give it? And we have numbers that we give off air when we're talking to each other because I want to hold out hope because I want something apart from, oh, okay, well, eventually I'll watch Shutter Island again for the first time in 6 years.
Brought to you by Dana White.
Exactly. There's, you want to hold out some hope, right? But the longer it goes, the less likely it seems. And whether you're 50-50 or you're 80-20 or, I mean, our poll this past week, right? We've been doing polls on Fridays. This one was now 33%. Hey, it ain't going to happen.
Without hope, DT, there's nothing.
Exactly. You gotta hold on to something and just forget about the labor-intensive process. I was trying to redraw the schedule today. I took the final from week 13 to week 21 of the schedule. That's the 9-week span in which you would have to get in 8 games for every team. And I thought, oh, man, it'd be great if every team played every other team in this and it was ready to go. It's not close. It's not close. Saskatchewan plays the Bombers twice. One team plays 2 other teams twice. So you have to move these games. And now these 3-game weeks have to become 4-game weeks and boop, boop, boop. And everybody's got to get home games and away games. It's going to be a real process.
Jeez.
Unless these buildings are open, right? If Tim Hortons Field has not got any other events, and I would think other events are going to be slow to come back.
Like Forge FC, their Canadian Premier League team, I don't think they're going to be playing anytime soon.
Yeah, so I was initially worried about the availability of these places, but I thought, I don't know that Garth's doing a tour that's going to require Mosaic Stadium during the bye week, so maybe
these are going to be squeaky clean.
Maybe there's a little extra flexibility in those schedules. That said, if you're looking for, like Cody Fajardo said to us last week, I would accept an 8-game schedule. If you want an 8-game schedule, you have to do it over 9 weeks because there's 9 teams. You have to start September 3rd.
At this point, that's kind of looking like best-case scenario, honestly.
Yeah, and that to me, 100% fine. Just get me something.
Yeah.
Just get me something. And
play everyone once, you know?
And that
fair
would be
slate.
That's probably as close to fair as you could get, right? You're going to have one team that gets a disproportionate number of tough teams on the road. They're going to have to go to Hamilton and to Saskatchewan and at Calgary. And you'll think, oh, that sucks to be the Argos in this hypothetical.
Yeah.
But it gets us a season and gets us a Grey Cup champion and gets us a Grey Cup in Regina. So there's almost nothing. I have a distinct rooting preference for one team in the CFL, as no doubt you would suspect. If the Riders end up taking the short end of the stick on an 8-game season, like they have to go to Hamilton, have to go to Calgary, and then have to go to Montreal the next week, cool. I'll take whatever it is. And honestly, the competitor in those guys, they'd take it too.
Mm-hmm.
They'd take it too. Get me a season. Get me a great. I don't think they're going to put 8-game season on those Grey Cup rings if they happen in 2020.
No, it don't matter to me.
No asterisk on the diamond-crusted ring, as Steve Walsh once said to
One
us.
One of the greatest quotes of all time inside the cage. And it's kind of like equivalent to, like, some years, you know, you're going to have to go to Calgary twice or they're going to have to come to Regina twice, you know? It's the same thing, except it's just a smaller sample size on the schedule. That's one way to look at it.
Riders had to play the Bombers 3 times last year. That's not a team I really wanted to play 3 times if I was the Riders.
Yeah.
3 games against BC, bring it on. They were terrible, awful.
So if people complain about, but if it's an 8-game schedule and we have to go to Winnipeg, well, you know, some years the Bombers have to come here twice. Some years we have to go there twice, you know? So it evens out in a way.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, I'm just at the point where I'll take what I can get. Brian Ramsey, the executive director of the CFLPA, said, "We know this is difficult news for players who are anxious to get to work, but public health, safety, well-being, the most important. We are in daily contact with the CFL to anticipate and plan for all possible scenarios."
Wow. Can we go back and revisit this report yesterday about
Dunkaroo.
About the, all the CFL players being free agents. Like, that's, I think I had a nightmare last night about that. Like, seriously.
If you weren't with us, Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation had a report, and it's a clause in the standard player contract and says if operations are suspended, this contract will be voided, essentially. So saying that if operations of the league are suspended, every player essentially becomes a free agent. So you could have 500 CFL free agents.
CFL fantasy draft, baby.
Yeah, if that is perceived or taken in legal sense, if one side decided to challenge that, which would be the players, everybody's a free agent. There were players yesterday, and I'll ask you about your dream, but there were players yesterday I thought, ooh, if I'm that guy, I don't want to be a free agent. I want to be locked in.
Well, I don't want Cody Fajardo to be a free agent. Are you kidding me? Like, oh my God.
Would Cody Fajardo want to be a free agent again?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure? He did get a good,
I think he wants to be in the green and white.
I can't see why he wouldn't, but
that's why I don't think he would want to. I don't think he would want this process. I think he wants to be in Regina. Like, I wouldn't want to be. What if Toronto offers him some good money? But
what if Ottawa says, "Oh, hey, we know what Saskatchewan paid you, and we didn't have a chance to offer you before, but now here's that plus $75K."
I guess financially, right? Speaking, he'd probably be gaining more money. But I'm just thinking from, like, as far as, you know, his comfort zone and being in Regina. I truly believe that he likes playing in Saskatchewan. So,
but now you'd have teams with a chance to tempt guys, right? Would anybody try to tempt Mike Riley's not leaving BC because there's other reasons besides $2.9 million that he went to BC. But Mike Riley would be a guy. I don't know.
Think people would pay him. Do you think if every player went on free agency, could you see Mike Riley getting a deal like he got with the BC Lions again? Every day he's getting older, no?
True. If you're going to have a season in 2020, though, and Grey Cups count as Grey Cups,
yeah.
Well, this would be then for 2021, right? So he'd then be 35.
For, like, probably for wouldn't, the future, yeah.
But he'd be a year plus into that contract, right? Next year, he'll have 2 years left on that deal.
Yeah.
So would you sign him for 2 years for $1.45 million? That's it. If I'm Mike, I don't want to be a free agent. If I'm Bo Levi Mitchell, I kind of don't want to be a free agent because I have this contract is pretty great, and I took it before. I mentioned the name Sook Chung yesterday. That guy makes a lot of money in BC, and I kind of want my club to be bound by this because I don't think how many guys this year did not find what they were looking for on the free agent market.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Tavares Daniels in Toronto and the market has shifted dramatically since I smartly signed a contract for $200,000, team might start to think, if I could have Darrell Walker for that $200,000, do I want Darrell Walker or Tavares Daniels? We would see so much about, and there'd be so many pieces written about loyalty and you know, believing in yourself and believing in your guys, and I can't believe you betrayed. It would be fascinating to see everybody be a free agent.
It would be such a cluster. I'm just thinking if everyone's a free agent looking at Cody Fajardo, would it be worth an extra $75,000 to go to a different team to play with completely different players, a completely different environment? You have to get a completely new place. You have to do completely new everything. You know, you'll be totally probably out of your comfort zone when you thought you finally found your comfort zone. Is it actually worth that amount of money?
Don't make me play devil's avocado here, but I'm about to.
I want to.
Cody, here's more money.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with an offensive coordinator you're not familiar with. You've only been with them for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams, if they had the chance, when you look at Cody and you watch Cody, you go, that guy is one, built for here, and two, looks like he's very comfortable here.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine he would leave.
Yeah.
But there's points of when you've bounced around as much, are you now comfortable in where you are? Is this okay? Now I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Could you be tempted by $75K and a shorter flight to your hometown?
You can't play here, Cody, for $75,000 more, but the fans won't care about you as much, and you know, you won't get as much fans. You won't be as popular here, but you know, you'll have more money. You won't be as loved, but there's my devil's avocado.
Yeah, devil's avocado, Larry. Classic season 3, episode 12 of 30 Rock from Tracy Jordan. I'm very curious. Who would be the first five guys you would sign? if everybody was a free agent. On the text line, 306-936-6262 for TrustedRegina.com, your source for local businesses you can trust. TrustedRegina.com is the smart and simple choice. Who are the first five guys you would sign?
League-wide, we're talking everyone across
the
league.
Yeah, because you can't just go out and take the five highest-paid players because you wouldn't have a team. Oh, I want Mike Riley, and I want Darrell Walker, and I want Willie Jefferson. And now you're broke.
Yeah, realistically speaking, break it down now on what five players. That's interesting.
You got to lock in some guys for cheap.
Yeah.
Although now American guys who made $65K last year and are going to make $65K this year but had an amazing season, now they're going to want more money. That would be a real – man. And then how would you do it, right? How if you're Jeremy O'Day,
that'd be so
you're working 24 hours a day.
No sleep.
Ryan Pollock, who works with you, is working 24 hours a day. You bring in six other guys to reach out to agents to work 24 hours a day. The agents are working 24 hours a day. Our friend of the show, Ryan Fry, is taking phone calls from seven different GMs and sub-GMs.
It would be like something that was never been seen before in professional sports. Has there ever been a scenario when everyone's just been dumped in one pool and be like, okay, we're basically, you know, fantasy drafting. Like, wow.
Like, the closest you get, right, are dispersal drafts.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah,
that
when
I
new
can
teams come to the league. But
think of. Or, like, yeah, the XFL new team comes in. Here's the quarterback draft. But this would be, like, that's a draft, right, with a rigid process.
Yeah. This is just everyone for themselves, if that was the scenario, right?
You wonder if they would, have to go to some sort of redraft.
Yeah.
It's just such a mind bender to think of what would happen, and then you know there's zero chance it happens.
That's why people have nightmares both when there's something mind bending like that. DT,
what were your nightmares? What was the theme of your nightmares about the potential?
You know, it's one of those nightmares where you go to Mosaic Stadium and you go to buy your favorite player's jersey and you see like a different player's jersey hanging on the wall and you're like, oh, he's not on the Riders, and then the girl behind the desk is like, where have you been? I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, and then I go like, am I even in Regina? It's like, wouldn't you like to know? You know, there's everything this goes to heck.
What is this Tommy Campbell 23 in green?
You know
what is
I mean?
This about?
It's just like,
this is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to know any more about it. It's too scary.
Oh, that said, the best thing that could probably, or the biggest thing that would result from that is if the CFLPA said, oh, you know what? Maybe we should push for this. And the CFL said, okay, What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need? What can we give you? How can we sweeten this? Because we do not want it. The headache that would be. Turmoil. Oh, Mike Riley and his Ottawa Red Blacks playing Bo Levi Mitchell and his Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Who's ready for some Friday night football?
Yeah, seriously. Then Friday becomes Tuesday and the whole world's turned upside down.
The league will start playing on Tuesdays and then, you know.
We got to get those games in. There. Every fifth day, every 120 hours, boom, you're playing a new team.
It's not going to happen, though. I don't want to think about it anymore.
You know what we should do? Just load everybody on a plane, fly them to a private island, and just make them fight each other.
I think so, because Dana White has something brewing right now, and
good.
I think the CFL's listening. Randy's listening.
Ness, 448. We're going to talk about Dana White. He has a plan. I was all for the UFC Brazil going ahead. He's now losing me with the plans for UFC 249 at an undetermined location, which we will not tell the fighters before we load them onto a plane and take them there.
Castaway.
It is kooky times in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We'll discuss that coming up in the cage. One big number for this day is 40. The CFL now has 40 more days to play with as they try to get in a 2020 season. They would need to play an eight-game schedule. Every player, every team playing every other team one time. They need to begin in week 13. The original schedule had that starting September 3rd. And with the length of preseason originally scheduled, that would mean having players in camp around August 9th. Having said they won't begin before July 1st, the league has 40 days between then and being ready for a week 13 start, a small amount of time, as they hope for big changes in our fight against the pandemic.
4:53 with the sports ticker. The CFL has announced it is delaying the season until at least July the 1st. It was to begin June 11th. The league says it is preparing multiple scenarios for a season. Matt Dunstone's rink is making a change. They have parted ways with second Catlin Schneider. Schneider helped them to the Masters title and a bronze medal at this year's Brier. The Dunstone rink will announce a replacement in the coming days. And yeah, baby, stealing the plot from a 90s blockbuster movie, DT. UFC boss Dana White says he is securing a private island. Yes, he is. He's securing a private island on which he can host UFC cards. That includes UFC 249, scheduled for a week from Saturday. Pineapples are going to be dangling over the octagon. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, maybe, but maybe it's near the Antarctic. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? He just says a private island. Dana White, the boss of UFC, says he will fly fighters into the island and have the fights. Says he knows he's not going to get fighters into the U.S., so no point even investigating that. Says he's currently building the infrastructure, but will not say where the island is at all. Says fighters are going to congregate in one place before private planes pick them up and fly them to the island, saying the fighters will have no idea where they're going.
Wow.
Why they can't have any idea where they're going,
that's a little creepy.
I don't know. Says 100% healthy athletes will compete. There's problems inherent in that. But he is insistent that UFC 249 on April 18th is going to go ahead and subsequent ones are going to keep going. He knows well what we all know. We want live sports right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to UFC 249 here at Alcatraz.
It very well could be.
It's an island.
Who knows?
It's in the U.S., though. So maybe
there's zillions of them in Indonesia. Go ahead and grab one of those. Dana White is going to buy an island. Worked real well for the Firefest guys. Like, I really hope that there's a Netflix crew following him around for all of this.
I'm down for it, to be honest.
Could make a tremendous documentary. The question I think I come from with this, I was very excited to see UFC Brazil, the previous card they had, because I wanted something, right? Just as this was all kind of kicking off.
I thought it was okay.
And it was fine. The fight was good. The lack of a crowd really didn't hurt them, in my estimation. But if I watch UFC 249, and I won't because Habib isn't fighting, so Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje as the headliner doesn't really appeal to me at all, because I wanted to see Ferguson Nurmagomedov. That's the fight I came for. And I would have watched the other four of the main events so I could get to Habib's fight. If you watch it, are you saying, yeah, you know what? I need more reckless behavior in my lifetime. I advocate you doing this insane plan to take a bunch of people to some island who knows where with minimal medical supervision. Well, presumably there'll be supervision, but pretend a fighter gets his block knocked off, suffers a serious brain injury.
Let's go to the hospital. Oh, wait.
It's an abandoned island, which is undetermined distance from an island with a hospital that could deal with that. Unless it is right off the coast of something, a guy could easily die.
That's not very smart.
A gal could easily die.
Not very smart, no.
No,
to have a stars ambulance sit beside the ring or octagon, like, that's crazy, DT.
Well, and then you go to an island of undetermined jurisdiction, you now get to make up your own rules for how things work.
Yeah.
And we have to trust that you are concerned with their safety and not your own money.
No athletic commission.
No athletic commission whatsoever. And as much as those are a disaster when it comes to combat sports and have been for almost as long as I've been alive,
yeah,
I think they probably saved some lives along the way, because there'd be barbed wire bare knuckle fights if you let people with money take charge of it. Someone would want to put that on. So I love the UFC. When this is all over, I'm back on the UFC if they don't go full Ron DeSantis Florida beaches stay open nutso at this time. But there's no way I'm watching UFC 249 from some tiny, I don't know, peninsula of Kuala Lumpur, whatever. I'm not doing it. You can't do it, because I don't want to advocate for this insane behavior. Did you hear Mike Gundy of Oklahoma State saying, let's get the kids back out there and get this economy going? Really, Mike? They make $0. You make $5 million. Let's put them on the front line.
Go make me some money.
Yeah, just nuts. I get it.
Dana's crazy. I think he's losing it in quarantine.
He really wants to do this, right? And the reason the UFC is the UFC is because his force of will. But it's gone a little bit off the rails. as he tries to get UFC 249 to go ahead. News coming up next on the other side. The True North CFL Pod joins the show. We're going to spotlight some of our finer CFL podcasts across the country. Mike Schwann talking some football with us next on The Cage. 508 on a Tuesday for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for over 12,000 sport, culture, and recreation groups. Today's show brought to you in part by good folks at Kevin's Marine. Their showroom temporarily closed, but you can book service and shop for pontoon and fishing boats online at kevinsmarine.com. In this time of looking for something to do, I'm branching it out, taking in some more CFL podcasts, taking them in from across the country, and I wanted to give a chance for some of them to shine with me right here on the air, celebrate the good folks talking CFL football. One of them is on the line with me right now. He is the host of the True North CFL podcast, a.k.a. Jimmy Leach on Twitter. His name is Mike Schwann. Mike, thanks for your time today, my man.
No problem. Good to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us. Tell me about your podcast.
So, the True North CFL podcast, we cover all things CFL. So, basically how our off-season specials work, which we're doing right now, is we cover the news, and we give our various takes, and then once that's done, we kind of do an off-season question or whatever. So that might be ranking the GMs of various teams, coaches, power rankings, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And then we have added, just our last episode, which came out yesterday, a new thing for this whole COVID-19 crisis, more or less what we're doing, so you can get a better idea of who we are as people and what we do outside of the CFL. So Carter, who is one of my other hosts, he's a gamer, so am I. So we kind of chose various video games. And Taylor Curry, our other host, is also a huge fan of The Cage. He is spending time with his family. So that's more or less what we're up to right now. And then another thing we do with our podcast is I really enjoy the CFL draft, and so does another guy who works with the podcast named James Tees. He's an offensive lineman at York University. He actually plays. So he and I got together, and we actually ended up doing a recent mock draft.
And I love mock drafts. And I mean, as you know, rankings and mock drafts, they drive attention. They make people so happy or so mad. They're candy for us as listeners. That's fantastic.
Yeah, 100%, man. I love making them because it gets your brain going and just thinking, well, what does this team need? Are they going to go best player available? Or are they going to address maybe a certain need they have within their organization or how things are going to plan out? And I really enjoy kind of thinking that way.
Yeah, it is very good. We do it, as you know, we do it here on The Cage. I love it. And so since we got you, let's talk about the CFL draft. We were discussing it yesterday. And it's something I don't pay a ton of mental attention or energy on. Don't spend a bunch of energy on because I haven't seen a ton of college football. So Marc-Antoine Dacroix versus Carter O'Donnell versus guys that play at Buffalo, I kind of don't have time. So I rely on folks like you. Mike, help me out here and tell me the Riders pick at 7. What do you think the Riders should be looking for at 7? What should Jeremy O'Day want?
Well, in a perfect world, you would get a guy like Thomas Jack Cardilla, who's a 3-year starter at Buffalo Division I.
Offensive lineman?
Yep, offensive lineman. He started 3 years at right guard. So in a perfect world, we would land someone like that to be an heir apparent to one of our aging guys. But unfortunately, I think due to the teams ahead of us in the draft, I think someone else is going to address that need before we get the chance to.
Yeah.
So another major need we have is we need probably some more depth on some of our skilled position players on defense. So maybe another guy behind Cam Judge or another Canadian defensive back to make starting Ely Buka a bit more of an option if the need arises.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in my path of the mock draft, I have us drafting Marc-Anthony Dacroix because he can play a bunch of positions. He can be a safety, outside linebacker, DB. He's long. He's all that. He's great. He's got NFL speed. he's a guy that I think he could fall to us just because of the needs of the teams in front of us. And if I'm a Ryder fan, I'm happy with that pick.
I think a lot of folks would be. He's a guy that John Hodge mentioned to us yesterday out of the University of Montreal. As I looked through his resume today, I noticed the University of Montreal listed him at 25 years old last year. Is that an impediment to a CFL team taking him in your mind?
Ooh, it could be, but at the same time, the talent level is so good. I think this guy's a bona fide first round pick. It could be a reason that he falls potentially to us, but yeah. I mean, yeah, if you want to put it that way, it's a reason for him to fall, but not too far fall.
Yeah.
Not too far to fall, yeah.
Yeah, because if you hope to squeeze 5 years out of a guy, he's then 30. Okay, then you can move on to the next guy. I'm with you in that as you look at the Riders, Mike Edom at safety, and then various backups to him at safety, what are they going to do with Ailey Buca in the future? He had some work at that field side cornerback. Is he a safety in the future? Do they feel he can keep playing corner? I think that's the place they should try to target in the first round. I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a spot where, you know, that offensive lineman that could replace guys in the future, that's not there. So it's another need that we have. So I feel like it makes sense to address that need, especially because guys like this do not come around very often.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. He is Mike Schwann of the True North CFL podcast with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. Seems like every draft is the guys who won't go to America. There's some real quality offensive linemen at the top. And I wonder, do you think the gentleman you mentioned from Buffalo, remind me of his name.
Thomas Jack Cardillo.
Thank you. I'm going to not remember three names. And Carter O'Donnell of Alberta. Those guys, how high are those guys going? I mean, Toronto, Ottawa at the top. I have to imagine, Calgary at the top of the draft with a trade. How high are those guys going? Will the Riders have a shot, do you think?
Carter O'Donnell, I think he's pretty much the consensus number one pick. Dude's just perfect for the CFL, can play tackle. He has played guard at University of Alberta. He's got the size. He's easily the best lineman in this draft. He may get some NFL interest, but because Calgary has that first pick, I feel like they could afford to wait on him if he does have interest, sort of like Edmonton's done in previous years with guys like Matthew Betts and Tavon Smith. They've had to wait for them to come here, but when they did, they made a pretty good impact right off the hop. So I feel like that Carl Dahl's 100% going number one. As for Thomas Jack, maybe he falls. I'm not sure, just because the only knock against him is he only plays guard.
Okay.
Whereas someone like Cattell Assay, who James has going number two in his mock draft, he's a Laval offensive lineman. He also plays both. He's pretty good, not quite as technically sound as Carter O'Donnell, but still a decent option. And I feel like those are the top three linemen in the draft. So the only way I could see Thomas Jack slipping from one of those top three is just the teams just don't like that he only plays guard.
Yeah.
The other guys can play both.
And that was a real plus for the Riders this past season, right? Unusual depth at Canadian. And, oh, hey, Philip Blake can pop over to every spot. And, okay, Brendan Labatt can go into the middle when Dan Clark got hurt in the BC game. Having that flexibility has got to be appealing to CFL teams.
100%, yeah. But the danger with that is you have someone like Josiah St. John, who the Riders picked way back when at first overall. The reason he went as first overall is because he had the potential to play tackle too. So sometimes some of those guys may not be the best, but they just have the most potential. So it depends how your scouting team looks at things and the demand on various teams.
Yeah, exactly. He's Mike Schwann of the True North CFL podcast talking CFL draft with us. Mike, give me a couple other names of guys I should be paying attention to. You mentioned DeCroix, the defensive back from Montreal, a couple of offensive linemen, and then Assay from Laval. Give me a couple other names, couple other positions I should be aware of high in this year's draft. And you can't say Chase Claypool because he's never coming. Never coming.
Oh, yeah, no chance. So for this draft, I think Jordan Williams is another guy that we could potentially get, and I'd personally be happy with getting him. He was a late Canadian addition.
Right.
Sort of like Alex Singleton. They both play linebacker, too, by the way. So yeah, the Ottawa Redblacks found out he was Canadian through his mom, and so they were going to sign him last year as an American. So that tells you he's got some skill.
Yeah.
And I feel like they probably get him before we do because they're the team that discovered him. They're probably the team. It just makes sense for them to draft him. Another guy is Mason Bennett, who I really like, out of North Dakota.
Nice.
Yep, he was a stud defensive lineman at a D1 school. He's got a pro-ready frame. And, yeah, he's just super good, played at a very good school. And I think he's going to be a high pick. Probably the highest guy that's a local kid that's going to go. He's probably in the round 3 to 5 or maybe a high second-round pick. For your listeners, is Leboldus Golden, former Leboldus Golden Suns defensive lineman, Nicholas Daly. This guy's huge. He's 6'5", 255 pounds, so he's got the pro-ready frame just like Bennett. Likely would have tested well at the combine, so that would have helped his draft stock. He was Can West Rookie of the Year with the Regina Rams. Went to the Okanagan Sun for a bit. Then went to the U of S. He also got an East-West Bowl invite, too, so he's a pretty good player as well.
Love it. Love it. You've got your – I found it on Twitter, at AKA Jimmy Leach, your top – well, I guess your first round of your first mock draft of the year. Do you have plans for a second one coming? Because we won't get – as John Hodge mentioned yesterday, we don't get combine numbers to look at to judge guys a little further. Do you have plans for more?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to do – either one or two more. It depends if the CFL Scouting Bureau releases their April rankings or not. Typically, they do after the combine, but obviously the combine is not going to happen this year, so we'll see if that comes out or not. And if it does, maybe we'll put another one out right after. And if it's not, we'll definitely have one before draft day.
Love it. Love it. He is Mike Schwann of the True North CFL Podcast, one of the fine CFL podcasts we have across this country. There are so many and so much good content out there and so many smart people talking about football. I wanted a chance, Mike, to bring you on and get a chance to talk to you and let people know that here in Regina we're putting out great CFL stuff. So thanks for your time, my friend.
No problem. It was awesome being here.
All right. Mike Schwann, True North CFL Podcast. Definitely check it out. Their coverage of the draft coming up to April 30th. And what will the Riders take? Jason and Balgoni talking about the linebacker Jordan Williams. Said Jordan Williams going number one. There's a lot of talk. A lot of talk as I talk to more CFL draft folks about Canadian linebackers and who needs one and would Calgary like one at number one. If not, would Toronto like one at number two because they already have Chris Ackie signed as a free agent? I don't want to stop me from saying this in a future zinger, but if there's a season.
Yes.
They're drafting regardless, but if there's a season, Toronto, man, if Toronto adds more impact Canadians, they already have, they look like they could start 10 of them this coming year. We don't need any more of that.
Mike mentioned that Nicholas Daly, former Regina Ram, and
yeah.
He played 1 year with the Rams. I remember him. Like he was playing defensive end, and he's a really good player. The only concern I have with him is I feel like he's a little bit undersized to play that position in the Canadian Football League.
Okay.
So he is a really good player at the collegiate level, but that's one thing I think he needs to get a little thicker. I think, but he is definitely a good player. He has some great technique, great speed. Played 1 year with the Rams, like I said. Then he went to playing BC with the Okanagan Sun, and then recently last year with the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, which did not sit well with Rams fans because he was such a good player with the Horns, and then he leaves, and then he comes back, and then he's with the Huskies. But hey, I guess it's still Saskatchewan, but
it's a young man making his own way in the world, taking the path less traveled.
I appreciate it.
5:22 on the Sports Cage, bottom of the clock. Peter Labardius from the Fan 960 joins us. Been a couple weeks since we talked to Peter, so we'll catch up with him and really break down the important news, like, should I be renting Onward to kill time? The Pixar movie that he saw when we last talked. Peter Labardius talking hockey in about 10 minutes from now on the Sports Cage.
.526 afternoon rush. The Saskatchewan Rattlers continue to push forward. They signed Regina's Kai Williams to a contract. Williams has been playing pro ball overseas since 2011. Former Swift Current Bronco captain Colby Cave is in hospital in Toronto. He's in a medically induced coma after suffering bleeding in his brain. Cave has split the season between the Oilers and their farm team. Best wishes to Cave and his family. The Canadian Grand Prix has been canceled. It was scheduled for June 12th to the 14th. Formula One says it hopes to hold the Montreal event later on this year. There's your afternoon rush, Mr. Derek Taylor.
5:26 changes in the world of curling from the Saskatchewan men's champion. Matt Dunstone's rink says they are moving on from Catlin Schneider in the second position. And just talking to Matt today, they're hoping to name a replacement in the coming days. Matt will join us regardless on Thursday's Sports Cage. Hopefully he will have some news for us as they look forward to the end of their season was canceled. They look forward to 2020 and 2021 and the Olympics coming up in 2022. And this was always coming. It's still disheartening when it happens. The Regina High School Athletic Association canceling all of its sporting events for the spring term all the way out to June. Golf was June 2nd. That is canceled. Provincial track and field, June 5th and 6th is canceled.
Yeah, it's too bad, man.
None of it's a surprise, but everyone kind of hits me just a little bit now. There have been so many canceled. It's tough to keep them all straight, but yeah. You just think of the 12th grade boy, the 12th grade girl who was looking forward to, man, I'm going to crush the 800 meters this year.
Yeah, I was thinking back to like elementary school, like track and field. I did track and field in elementary school, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same thing for elementary schools as well. And I can't imagine that being taken away from me. Like, that was like one of the things you look forward to throughout the whole year. But you know,
those were so much fun, right?
Yeah, it's warranted, but man, it's tough.
It's just a continuation of all this. I mean, there are so many things that we don't get to do that we've all kind of had to refocus and go, you know what, I like long walks in the park at least 12 meters away from everybody else.
Yeah.
And things when summertime rolls around. Yeah. There are places now that are closing parks, period. I get closing playgrounds because kids wiping their nose and wiping on a thing and another kid grabs it and wipes his face and now a three-year-old has coronavirus. Okay, we got problems.
Mm-hmm.
I get playgrounds. Big, wide, open spaces.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We need those, though. Yeah, we need those. My wife was like, well, can we go to the White Butte Trails or will that be closed? And I said, I hope they're open.
Like, things are a little suffocated enough, aren't they? Like, can't we go outdoors and be in a park? No.
And I saw someone talking about it today on Twitter and it said, well, that's a move that really would disadvantage poor people because poor people don't have treadmills to be crushing their Peloton workouts at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have ways to necessarily, they don't have big yards to go play. Oh, kids go out in the backyard. Well, if I live in an apartment block, I need some outdoor space somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's one of the things that doesn't come on the chopping board when this progresses.
Yeah.
I don't know what point flattening the curve is at in Saskatchewan. We keep having more cases.
I think 7 today, was it? And 4 yesterday?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know,
still going up, though.
Still going up.
Still
a bit.
Going up. Maybe
I was hoping there'd be
today.
Like 2 today after 4 yesterday. It's like, okay, maybe we can keep it at 4.
Yeah.
But no.
You have to step back and look at those, right? Because day to day, there are so many factors.
You'll
that
just drive
play
drive yourself
it.
Crazy looking into it like that. Yeah,
exactly. So I try to go shop. I had to buy 2 things of milk yesterday. I had to make sure the store had enough milk. And then I thought, milk's the thing I keep going to the store for. So I'm buying 2 right now, and then I won't have to come back for a week and a half. We'll be good at that point.
What? Speaking of stores and stuff, can I just say this real
Hit me.
Quickly? Like, what's with these people thinking they're cool? It's happened to me again. It's happened twice now, DT, where people like walk and like cough near me when they walk by me.
Are you serious?
And then they have like a little grin. They're all like younger kids. Like, I don't get it.
Well, you
like,
are.
You're not cool, dude.
Maybe gotten they're a trying little to impress you. You're a young dude.
I know. I just shaved and stuff, but like, come on, dude. Like, add my PlayStation account or something. You don't need a, you know.
When you're the other side of 30 and you stop posting those provocative TikToks, the kids will stop being drawn to you.
Oh, my God. TikToks right now, though. Like, oh, my God. Can we speak about that for a
second? No, we can absolutely not
talk about TikToks. Let's just go to break before that.
TikToks. My goodness. 531. A man who I'll wager has never TikToked is Peter Labardius. He will join us next on The Cage.
Oh! Those are landing very heavy. Ferguson's hitting him very hard. Pettis needs to get on his bike and start moving. He can't sit here like this.
And we just got showered with blood.
He's
here in the
booth.
Final seconds of the round. Pettis covers up. Mixed martial arts.
Goodness gracious.
Unbelievable pressure.
Unreal fight so far.
And a couple weekends from now, Tony Ferguson will be showering an unnamed island with blood. So Dana White pulling off UFC 249. That was the smoking play of the day for JB Sausage Maker. Make your healthy choices with JB Sausage Maker Supplies. Now accepting orders online. Make flavors bland to bold. .533 on the Sports Cage. Due to the COVID-19 crisis, 32 food banks across Saskatchewan are facing unprecedented demand from our communities, while, as you would imagine, facing volunteer staffing challenges as well. Provincial food banks urgently requesting financial donations to help thousands of families, literally thousands of families, through this crisis. No province, as you know, comes together like Saskatchewan. And if you can, your financial contribution will matter a great deal. $100 donation, for example, can feed two families for a week. If you can, donate to the Food Banks of Saskatchewan Crisis Response Fund. You can visit saskatchewanfoodbanks.com or, as always, our website at 620ckrm.com. While you're on our website, if you know of a restaurant business that is able to remain open during this time, let us know. We will let everybody know. If you are an establishment that's offering gift cards and we can help support you in that way, please do let us know. All of that available on 620ckrm.com. 535, we go to the Western Pizza Hotline and hear the voice of Peter Labardius for the first time in a couple weeks. Peter, last time we spoke, you were going to see the movie Onward, I believe it was?
Yes, I did indeed.
So for an adult, for myself and my wife, should we rent Onward? It's available on iTunes right now. Your take.
Absolutely. With all the other choices that you have, with no disrespect, if you're not taking children, I would say absolutely not.
Oh, no. It wasn't. Was it at least kid friendly then, or was it just not good?
It was very kid friendly. It had some lovely moments. But I'm not sure I could recommend it to two adults.
Okay. We'll stick to The Gentlemen and Little Women then.
Whatever you guys need. I'm very supportive of whatever you like to watch or what you feel enamored to do.
You're a good man. Peter, yeah. I'm curious what Calgary is like these days. The mayor coming out last week and saying, hey, there are no events, no sporting events through June 30th. Kind of one of the first to set out a date like that. Toronto's done something similar, but what's the perception of how things are going in Calgary?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I'm in Calgary, but I'm not in Calgary.
Oh.
I am in Mississauga, Ontario.
Oh my gosh.
Outside of during the hockey season where I spend the majority of my time because it's where my wife is and my stepdaughter.
So,
you know, at some point we have not crossed that bridge. I certainly have relatively regular contact with friends and, of course, co-workers in Calgary. So, I don't think Calgary is a whole lot different than a lot of other places in this fine land. The province of Alberta has struggled greatly, especially economically, in the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, this has taken a toll on everybody, but, you know, including today, I was part of a conference call, and one that may become very regular, spurred on by the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treleving. And you know, the one thing, Derek, and I know you have deep roots in the West, and so do I, being a very proud product of Saskatoon and the great province of Saskatchewan, I've always felt that, you know, at these types of times, people in the prairies have always, I think, really been strong and caring about their neighbors and other people. And that's, you know, whether it's Calgary, whether it's where I am right now, whether it's in the great city of Regina, where I spent so many wonderful years of my life, you know, this is a time about good people and reflecting and, frankly, trying to find normalcy. But in my opinion, and, you know, because we've gotten to know one another through doing the show on a regular basis the last year and a half, for me, so much of things is about thinking and outside of sports and people connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And I think these times, no matter where you are or what city, in many ways, as difficult as it is and as abnormal as it is for all of us, I think it's kind of been a time where we're asking ourselves some really important questions, like who and what really matters and what's important. And I think, you know, that there's part of this that I see great acts of kindness and charity and people learning more about one another, because that's what we have right now. We don't have a lot of our normalcy, but we do have one another. And without one another, I'm not sure on this journey known as life we have that much.
Yeah, that is very well said. And things that drive us bonkers, people going up to Zinger in the store and coughing on him or fake coughing on him, will draw a lot of attention. But we should really focus on the good things that are happening, the places that are still able to help out.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's what this show has an opportunity to do, your fine radio station. I think more now than ever, it's about helping others and those who are in a more, you know, able position to do that, that's what these times ask for. And I do. I think this is an incredibly difficult journey. I think it's going to be very difficult before it gets back, but I'm just hoping, because I think in so many ways, in the busy world that we've lived in with all the technology and advancement and everything that's gone hand to hand, I think sometimes that, you know, we've forgot about some of the basics and what really matters, and maybe sometimes what should matter more than what we tell ourselves. And I think everybody, starting with me, can be as hypocritical as anybody sometimes in how we live our life. But this is really a time about reaching out to others, checking in, seeing how they're doing, and understanding that it's not always the big things that make such a difference, even though in so many ways we're kind of, no pun intended, tailored to get there.
Mm-hmm.
See how I threw that in? I'm sorry. I didn't even really mean to. But
I like the way you did,
you know,
that.
It is. It's about the simpler things. Now, there are a lot of people now spending a lot of time with one another that they're not used to it.
Yes.
You know, which for a little levity's sake, you know, that can bring a few extra challenges too.
Oh, like there's just endless hours upon hours of being at home. It's just my wife and myself, and we have one dog, Louie, who is just adorable and just thinks my wife walks on clouds. Mm-hmm. And she's just, the dog's driving her nuts, right? Because Louie follows my wife around everywhere, and she loves Louie with all her heart. But there's mm-hmm. a point where Louie's going through the uprights with a three-pointer. Like, it's just, you have to, we need a little give, right? And you need to,
yeah, well, absolutely.
We're all learning lessons, right, about how we create mental distance, you know, when we're confined in the same house.
Yeah, well, you do. And I think, you know, there's the part about distance And there's the part about, you know, it's funny, and depending on your world and your relationships and your circumstances, well, you know, when everybody's really busy and doing their own thing, you know, we are in positions now where, guess what? We have to really learn about people and get to know them and get to know all of them.
Yes.
And all their tendencies. You know, it's funny, not really the subject, but very much tied to it is, the older I've gotten, I've always felt that in some ways, while traveling can mean some wonderful things, I think sometimes it can be harder to travel with someone as opposed to sometimes even live with someone. Although this is very much that, because, you know, in our day-to-day business, and depending on who you are and whether you have children or pets or the combination of both, you know, we live in a life normally that two people and can be married and partners, and we're all going in different directions. Well, we're not going in a lot of different directions now. So, you know, get to know your partner, get to know your kids a little better, and you know what, even since I've been back in my, you know, interesting world of having a son in one place and a job in one and a significant other, wife and stepdaughter in another, probably my favorite part, Derek, about the last 3 weeks is I've spent some great time with my stepdaughter, who's incredibly interested in being an actor, and she has an agent, and she's in all kinds of different community theater. And, you know, while I spent a lot of time here during the off season, it's been probably my favorite part of being home, is just getting to know her and chatting with her. And, you know, because she's very, very interested, and there's no doubt in my mind will have a life that's in some form of performance, whether it's teaching or acting or whatever she's going to be. You know, it's been neat to have a chance to get to know her even more.
Yeah, and that's something. It's Peter Labardi is with us on the Western Pizza Hotline, and that's something in the performing realm. I mean, that's something you've done for quite some time, right? We don't necessarily think of your time when you were on the Sportsnet news show, whatever it was called back in the day.
Yeah,
we don't think of it as a performance, but it's to some degree a performance, right? So there's some insight you can share with her if she ever comes knocking.
Well, you hope to, and I think more than anything, where you'd like to be of service both because of the journey is understanding the ups and downs and the work and the trials and tribulations. And, you know, I don't know about you, Derek, because I'm older, but, you know, I mean, our paths have been different, but, you know, we've both been very fortunate, and to this point still are, to do some pretty great things for a living. You know, the one thing I reflect on a lot is to just, we all have a tendency to be in such a hurry to get to the next step or the next level or the highest level. But, you know, I talk so fondly, whether it was my first 4 years in the business in Estevan and, you know, 5.5, 6 years that I spent in Regina. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would have never, without those two stops, the ability to help own your craft. But more importantly, Derek, no matter what we do, it's about, in so many ways, not so much about the job or the games, but it's about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
People generally, you know, one of my lines, and there are a few, but one of them is, when are we the happiest? Well, generally I find in life we're the happiest when we do things that we love to do with the people that we love to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in 35, 36 years of this crazy racket that started in 1984, I've been incredibly fortunate and blessed because for the most part, you know, there's been nothing but good people and fun and, you know, excellent memories, whether it's, you know, my time of hanging out and living with Mitch Blair for a couple of years. And you want to talk about some stories. you know, whether it was my time in Estevan or everywhere. It's my, you know, whether it's been connecting with my stepdaughter, but one of the other neat things is whether people post about them. You just have had more time, I think, to reflect, and I'm a pretty reflective guy, but to think about those people who made such a difference and made the journey and all those experiences, just, you know, terrific. And for me, you know, it started in July of 1984. I was from Saskatoon. I moved into this town named Estevan. I didn't really know anything about it. I'd never been there before. And, yeah, just to think about being 18 and scared and terrified. And then, yeah, somehow 36 years have almost gone by. It's pretty amazing.
And I admit, you can still picture the place you lived in Estevan, probably, even though it was 36 years ago.
Mr. and Mrs. E, my rent was $150 a month. My roommate, when I first got there, was a gentleman who people in the province would know well, Ray Morrison out of Saskatoon.
W. Ray.
W. Ray and I grew up together. We lived on the same crescent in Saskatoon, Waterloo Crescent. Had a hope and dream of being sports broadcasters, and that came true for both of us. And yeah, I remember back then, you know, there were, unfortunately for me, that big salary of $800 a month that I started at.
And
back then there were no phone plans. And yep. As most people who know me well, I'm not good at idle chit chat. I don't have a lot of 4 or 5 minute conversations. So my phone bills monthly were much larger than my rent.
I gotta wait till 7 o'clock. I can't call until it's after 7.
those were the worst. Back then, Derek, you didn't even have those options.
Oh, like, no.
No.
$800 some. Yeah. I remember moving across the country to take a job for $23,000 in 2001. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, I better love what I'm about to do, because this is strangers in a strange land, and I make no money, and I live with 7 people who are different degrees of weird. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, welcome. Good evening and welcome. It's 6:45, and coming up, the Green Report.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's an interesting life, and yeah, I mean, this time has given me a lot. Got about another minute. It's given me a lot of chance to go, well, how do we all do when we're faced with challenges? And these are hardly the worst challenges that we'll ever face in our lives, but they're annoying and they're frustrating. And I mean, you and I probably both in our careers have certainly had things where you went, man, this isn't going as fast as I want it to go. Let's go. Whoa. Let's go. And right now is certainly not going as fast as I want it to go. Let's go.
No, it isn't. And again, you think, and I tell this to everyone who starts out in our business, the best you can take it from someone who has been there and done that. Enjoy all the steps, enjoy the journey. And I know it's easier said than done, but racing to the top, the steps on that ladder to get there, they're every bit as important. And I know for me personally, the ones at the very bottom provided the best opportunities, the greatest growth, and in my life, some of the greatest people I've ever met.
Agree with that 100%. Peter, thanks so much, man. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, you guys too. Stay well.
He is Peter Labardius of Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960, joining us from his home in Mississauga during this COVID-19 outbreak. He's on the Western Pizza Hotline. Use the Western Pizza app or go to westernpizzaexpress.ca for fully contactless delivery, because Western Pizza cares. 5:51, more hot sports talk coming up.
Last segment of the day inside the cage with the sports ticker. The CFL has announced it is delaying the season until at least July the 1st. It was to begin June 11th. The league says it is preparing multiple scenarios for a season. Matt Dunstone's rink is making a change. They have parted ways with second Catlin Schneider. Schneider helped them to the Masters title and a bronze medal at this year's Brier. The Dunstone rink will be announcing a replacement coming up here in a few days' time. And stealing the plot from a 90s blockbuster movie at your local Cineplex Odeon. UFC boss Dana White says he's securing a private island, yes he is, on which he is hosting UFC cards. That includes UFC 249 scheduled for a week from Saturday. There's your sports sticker.
If it's not Habib, it's not for me. Can't do it.
Not Habib. Not for me.
Yeah, Dana White. An island. We won't tell him where it is. We're going to put them on a plane and take them there, and they're going to fight for money.
So when the fighters get off the plane, they're going to be like picking up their phones, firing up the Google Maps app, and they'll be looking for the little blue dot on the screen, be like, okay, where am I at here? Oh, I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Let's zoom in a little closer. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
The plan. UFC is a multi-billion dollar business because of the force of will of Dana White. This plan seems like kooky times.
Well, I never even thought about that hospital scenario we were talking about earlier in the show.
What
if someone gets their head cut off in the ring? Or I keep saying the ring, the octagon.
Yeah.
And then there's nowhere to go. Like, what are you going to do? Just throw them in the ocean? Like, come on.
Who's going to keep people on this island? How populated is this island? What laws exist on this island? We can take this even further, right? He brought a giant saber into the ring. Now he's stabbing and slicing people.
Are gorillas going to be ringside? Gorillas and giraffes?
What Tiger King is waiting to pounce, right? Like,
oh my God, Joe Exotic's coming out.
So kooky. I mean, and Dana is a smart enough guy that he's mitigated some of these factors, but there's the unintended consequences of rogue sportsmen has grown adults fighting each other for money in the middle of nowhere.
It's quarantine madness, DT. It's what it is. It's quarantine madness. Dana's just overthinking things right now in his man cave. Come on, no?
He wants to carve out some space. There's space to be had, right? Because we're all watching classic hockey and classic Jays and classic March Madness.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm not doing that, but a lot of people are.
Yeah, but to be the one who can have live events, so much money to be made right now.
Yeah.
To just distract us from what's going on, but to do it safely. Hey, let's take the NBA all to Vegas and shuttle everybody from hotels in sterilized buses. Oh, but then they're going to run into random people and bus drivers, and those hotels aren't open, because if those hotels are open, there's going to be 10,000 people in the MGM Grand. No one can come to the game. He's going to get coughed on when he inevitably leaves his tiny hotel room to go down to the casino.
The only way you fight it, man, is you just don't have events. You can't fight it. You can't fight it, okay? People are going to cough on you like they do on Zinger in the grocery store. Like, sugar, please, if you want my phone number, just, you know, do it a different way.
Let's all agree to stop coughing on Zinger. Can we make that vow? Nobody cough on Zinger
I'm
anymore.
I'm sick of it. Like, I don't want it anymore.
And you're going to be sick from it soon. That'll be the problem. We don't want that.
That's why I'm eating sugar worms in here today. My blood sugar's down for whatever reason. I don't know why. I think I'm stressed out.
Did you see the bag of Dan Clark dinosaurs in the newsroom there?
I did.
Oh, so very good. Dan's a smart man.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, he's a good man. Sports Cage on demand for the Canadian Brew House. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes tomorrow on the Cage. An extended conversation with Jennifer Hedger of TSN. She's going to join us for a half hour. Super interesting career Jennifer has had. You might remember she was on a reality show way back in the day. My perception of it, and Jennifer will correct me or confirm it, TSN knew she was going to be a star from day one. She has been for more than a decade the host of SportsCenter's Evening Edition with Darren Titian. Just a tremendous woman, and the things she does for a workplace, there's no value you can put on the incredible person that she is. She was a treat to work with. She's going to be terrific tomorrow on the air. She'll join us at 5:00. Michael Ball with an interview of Craig Dickinson as well. Sports Cage rolling on for Wednesday. Nevin at Night is next.